So I'm very excited about today. In fact, I'm just going to ask you right now to just turn in your Bibles or turn on your electric devices, whatever works for you. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Okay, Romans chapter 12. And today we've kind of been, you know, I loved what Pastor Roland was sharing on last week. Really, this whole month has just been dynamic. But just last week, one of the things he said, which I absolutely loved, was how the kingdom of God doesn't fit into the church. It's the church that fits into the kingdom of God. And I've just loved this whole idea of the church that we've kind of been preaching on this last month. And so I kind of want to today continue to hit that. But what I really want to talk about today, and the title of my message, is the power of a transformed life. The power of a transformed life. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. He brought healing. He revealed God's love. He paved a way for healings and miracles and prophetic and visions and dreams and all of that stuff. And it's amazing. But he also paved the way for us to live a transformed life. There is transformation in the cross, and you see it all throughout Scripture, right? The old has gone, the new has come. He's come to fulfill what the calling of God is on our life. So in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 2, it says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So I love this. Paul makes two statements, and we're going to be in Romans 12 throughout this morning. There's going to be a few other scripture references I'm going to say and speak out. You probably, if you're taking notes, just want to write those down, because primarily we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. But I love what Paul says there. He makes two statements, right? He says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so today I want to talk about the power of a transformed life. And I want to talk about it in a way that applies individually and also corporately as a church. So Paul gives us the command to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But what does that look like? Okay, so being a youth pastor, I deal in practical applications, okay? I love applying scripture practically because, listen, the Bible is not this thing that we have to go years and years and years and years of Bible school to be able to understand it. God makes it through the Holy Spirit, has the ability to make every scripture verse applicable to our life today. So what's great is that what's relevant today is going to be relevant 100 years from now. And guess what? 1,000 years after that, still relevant. And guess what? Even after that, still relevant. Because the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God alive in our hearts. So I want to talk about individually, what does that look like, renewing our mind? So I'm going to flip over to Colossians chapter 3. If you want to flip over there, you can. If you're taking notes, you can just make the reference and circle back to it later, and it will also be up on the screen. But I want to be in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." So we need to set our mind on things above. And here's the thing. We live a normal life. We live a life, you know, Monday through Friday. Some of us, you know, have to go to work. Others, of us, it's a different schedule. But most of us in here work. We're part of a family. We eat food. We need food to survive and water. So we all live a life, right? But the thing is that to transform our mind, it's not setting our mind on the things of the earth. And let me tell you what, the earth and the enemy will do everything it can to shove every single worry and fear down our throats. That's what his goal is. And God says in the scripture, through Paul, he says, set your mind on things above. And here's something that the enemy will do. He'll say something like this. hey, you didn't pray today. Are you really transformed? Are you really being transformed? Did you read your Bible today? Did you go to church last Sunday? Did you give enough? Did you serve enough? Did you? He'll always come at you with condemnation. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to push you from that position that you're a child of God and that you are being transformed day by day. And what does this produce? It produces, if we begin to buy into that, it produces stalling out. What will happen is we'll just stall out and we'll just coast because we can't handle that. Oh my goodness, there's so much pressure. There's so many things we need to worry about, and we forget about the core of what God is all about, and that's about relationship. He wants to transform us through relationship. The ways of God are not the ways of men. If we begin to view our lives in Christ through the lens of the patterns of this world, then we're in trouble. So if we begin to see the kingdom of God and how God operates and how God moves, and it's all through the lens of this world, like I better make sure I have enough finances, I better make sure that I've got a 10-year plan and all of this stuff, then we will, again, we'll stall out. We'll stall out because you see, God has everything under control. Can I get an amen for that? Okay. Like he's not surprised. He's not like coming back from taking a nap and looking at the world and saying, what happened? I left for 100 years. What'd you guys do? No, God is in today, right now. He's in tomorrow, right now. He's in yesterday, right now. God is not, he's not confined by time. Which is amazing for us because we have the ability to trust God in everything because he has the perfect plan for us. So this is why we must renew our mind every day. And I want to hit, they're not technically points, they're kind of sub-points, but I want to hit the 4 T's of transformation, all right? The 4 T's of transformation. The first one is this, truth. Truth, John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32, John chapter 8 says this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. We must be in God's word more than anything else. I loved what Halligan said today, right? She said, you know, I was kind of getting to a point where I wasn't in scripture and I read one verse. That one verse, and you wanna know what I loved about her response is essentially she was looking for the right words to say and she just concluded with, man, God is good. And that's what's so powerful, one verse. That's how much power is in scripture. One verse has enough power, enough authority, enough transformation in it that it can take you from where you are and get you to where you're going. We need to be in God's word. We need to be in God's word. We can clap for that. That's okay. There's some people that are like, can we clap? Yeah, we can clap. We can always clap for God's word. And I'll say this. One thing that I'm excited about as a youth pastor in kind of this upcoming generation that I'm starting to see, and I know there's so many negative headlines that come out about this, these upcoming generations. They're the most unchurched. They're this and that and that. But something that I've seen, especially in youth kids that I've been around, Jen and I have been in youth ministry for the probably about 8 years. And what I've seen is I've seen a hunger for the word. You give me that over being able to sing, over being able to preach, over being able to lead a small group. You give me a generation that's hungry for the word and God will do a mighty, amazing work. We need to be hungry for the word. And do you want to know who literally is an example for that? Parents, grandparents, spiritual mothers and fathers, pastors, the church. We are an example. We are an example. We need to know the word. We need to be inundated in it. The second T is this, thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you know that we should be the most thankful people in the world? Amen. I love that. In everything. Poor, hungry, rich, full, whatever it is, give thanks. This is something that's been a cornerstone for Jenna and I's life. We got married very young. We were 22. We were madly in love. We got married, and then boom, reality punched us right in the face. We got married. We went on the honeymoon. It was amazing. We got home, and we stood in one place in our apartment, and we could see every single inch of that apartment. We didn't even have a couch. We took a coffee table. We put it up like this and put a bunch of blankets on there, and that's how we watched TV. It was great. I loved it. But what happened is a pattern of complaining began to set in for Jenna and I. And all of the things that we should be doing. We should be here by now. We went to Bible school for 2 years. We should have this. We should this and that. And I don't know what it is. Maybe the men in here who are married can come with me and help understand this. But sometimes the Holy Spirit just sounds a lot like my wife. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's because I hear her voice the most. You know, she's not my Holy Spirit. But when he talks, sometimes I'm like, I know you're not a woman, Holy Spirit, but you just sound like my wife. And I came home one day, and I don't know what Jenna had been reading or praying or what, but she literally was like, we sat at our, we had a fold-up card table as our dining room table. Jenna's laughing right now because it's true. That's what our dining room table was. It's actually the only thing that could fit in there. And Jenna sat at the table and she said, we need to start being thankful. In fact, what we're going to do every single morning we wake up, we're going to say three things that we're thankful for. Because we're in a mindset of poverty. We're in a mindset of complaining, and it's literally gotten us nowhere. So I'm like, okay, sweet, let's do it. And every morning we'd wake up, and let me tell you what, in the beginning, like I was like, I don't know, I'm thankful for the air I can breathe and like thankful that I've got socks on, and I'm kind of thankful for my car, although there's a lot of issues with it, Lord. And Jenna's like, okay. But you wanna know what happened? Even doing that, all of a sudden the next day, it just turned into, man, I'm really thankful for this. And then the next day it turned into, I'm thankful for this. And now what happened was, what I didn't realize is I had to like choose three things to be thankful about because I had so many. All of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to say here. I could say I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful that I have a wife that loves the Lord with all of her heart, even before me. I could be thankful for the church I'm a part of. I could be thankful for the car that I have, that I was able to put gas in it. I don't know. There's so many things. And it was like Jenna and I would have to like cut short the time of being thankful. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to be like. And you want to know why? Because it's so opposite of the world to be thankful that when people see us in everything giving thanks to God, they're going to say, what in the world do you have? Because I've got all this stuff and I'm frustrated with life. And you've got not a lot of that stuff. And you're way more joyful than I am. Exactly. Because you see, we have the one answer to everything. We have Jesus Christ. Thankfulness. The third one is this, transparency. This is a fun one. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this. This is talking about the early church. It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Who do we have in our life that we can be real with, that we can be raw, that we can be transparent with, and they will be able to love us through anything but point us to the right direction, that will point us towards Jesus? We need people in our life also that can call out, obviously sometimes the bad things, but can call out the fruit in our life. I have had many, many spiritual fathers in my life. I learned that at a very young age, and one of them is my actual father. I kind of cheated there a little bit, but he is. He's a spiritual father of mine. I have elders here that I meet with and pastors. I have people that I went to CF&I with that did Jenna and I's premarriage counseling, and he married us, and they speak into our life. And do you want to know what the best part is? Is that I can go to them, I can say, I'm frustrated, I feel anxious, I feel like I'm struggling with this. And they can say, listen, you need to, obviously, and they go through it, you need to look to Jesus, you need to be in the Word. Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying for your kids? Are you serving them? Are you doing this? But also, you want to know what's great, is they can sit there and say, do you know how far you've come from a year ago? You're producing fruit. Keep at it. Don't give up now. And again, see, we want to stall out. I feel like I'm not doing anything, so I'm done. And then we have no one around us to obviously point out what we need to change, but to point out the good we're doing. It's so important to have spiritual mothers and fathers in our life. And another thing is, it's important to be a spiritual father and mother. And all of you in here have that opportunity. You might be young in here. You're like, but I'm 12 years old. Okay, well, go to your little sibling who's 6 years old and start to call out good things in them. Be trained, be submitted to someone, but we have to have a community that we can be transparent with. And I love that's what happened in the early church. They were devoting themselves continually to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They were learning and they were fellowshipping. We need to have that transparency. My last one is this, trust. Psalm 28, verse 7 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, I shall thank him." God is working all things out for the good. But what we have to be able to do is not define good in our lens of the spectrum. We have to be able to define it according to scripture, according to the community in our life, according to being thankful for what we have, because God is doing a good work in you. He is good. He has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you out. He has the best plan for you. But we have to submit to that plan that he has for us, not try to get God's will into our plan. And we shove it in there. God, no, I want to do this. I'm supposed to do this. And God said, I have something way better for you. 10 years ago, you could say, you're going to be a youth pastor in Dallas, Texas. And I would have laughed so hard, I probably would have had to go to the hospital. I'm serious. Texas, I didn't even know Texas was a state. I did. Everyone's like, who is teaching our youth right now? God bless Texas. And I love football, so we're good. Okay. But you know, Texas wasn't on my radar. And then I came to Texas and my goal was 2 years, I'm going back home and I'm gonna start a church with my brothers and we're gonna dominate the world because we're amazing. And then my pride got killed. I realized I didn't know a lot. And then I met a beautiful woman. And then I was like, okay, I can stay here in Texas, be married to Jenna, go to Michigan and stay single. I don't know, God, this one's a tough one. Show me a sign. But really, I'm so thankful for where I am now. I'm telling you, this was not my plan at all. Zero. But submitting myself to God's plan, and by the way, having people that when I wanted to quit CF&I, my father and my old youth pastor saying, you committed to 2 years, be a man of your word, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You need to push through this. This is a season. Them pushing me on towards that, helping me to finish, has put me in such a place now where I look at my life and I say, I'm so blessed. There's no other words other than that. Because God's plan for me is good. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through hard times. Come on, every one of us in here could raise our hand with the time that we went through that was hard, a season that was rough, a time where we were unsure. But we're all standing, aren't we? We're all here. Why? Because our champion is standing. Our champion is victorious. I want to tell this story about actually my father-in-law who happens to be here, and I didn't know he was gonna be here today. They surprised us, and so it'll be fun. I'll tell this story, and it'll be fun to have him here. But he's a home builder, and it's really awesome. I know nothing about home building, okay? I've tried to build several things in my life, and they have all failed miserably, okay? So I've just given it up completely, and I'm okay with that. You know, my hands are meant to hold microphones, and I'm okay with that. I promise you. Sometimes my father-in-law tries to, you know, Jenna has an eye for detail and we'll be looking at a house or something like that. And he'll like kind of throw me a bone. Like, what do you think, Jake? And I'm like, oh, sounds good to me. Sure. Tan. I don't care. Whatever. But he was this house when Jenna and I first got married, he had gotten this house in a deal, and it was a nightmare. It was a disaster, okay? Like, think of all the worst things in a house you could come up with. That was this house, okay? And Jenna was able to see it. I did not see it early on, but Jenna saw it early on, and all I know is that's the first time that Jenna walked in and went like this. I don't think my dad can redeem that. That's literally what she said. She's like, that house is a nightmare. And what's interesting is my father-in-law began to strip down everything to its core, began to rip out the carpet, began to tear the paint off the walls, began to reprime it, began to change fixtures and change countertops. And there was a lot of construction. And it's actually the house that we live in today, which is really cool. But the house today, what he began to do, he put down new carpet. He put down new tile. He put down new countertops. He put down new paint. He began to change it and change it and change it. And it didn't happen in one day. It was the course of time. And you see, that's what transformation looks like in us. The Holy Spirit is working on us every day. Perfection is not the goal. And if you think perfection is the goal, that's actually a religious mindset. Because there's only one perfect person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it says that day by day, from glory to glory, we're going to look like him. But the one time that we will only be perfect in our life is when we are in heaven looking at him face to face. So in this world, perfection is not the goal. Do you know what is the goal? Transformation. Day by day, month by month, year by year. I hope that my daughters say of me in 20 years, I don't know who this guy is, but he wasn't the dad that we had growing up. He's more mature. He's wiser. He's more peaceful. He's more joyful. Absolutely, I pray that. Because I want to be transforming. I want to be a transformation. Okay, I'm going to go now corporately into the church. And this is where I want to talk about the power of a transformed life and what that looks like corporately. So, Romans chapter 12, I told you guys to stay there. For those of you that can just switch right back over with your phones, that's great. But we're gonna be in Romans chapter 12. And I wanna start in verse 2 again. And I kinda wanna read throughout the chapter because I think it's very, very interesting the way that Paul transfers this from individual to corporately. So Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, says this, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, then in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. But let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I know that was a lot of scripture, okay? But what I want to really see, what I want you to see here is how it goes from, hey, you need to transform your mind. Do not conform to this world. God, so that you could prove the good and acceptable will of God, to all of a sudden he starts talking about the difference in the members of the body and how Christ is the head. So he goes into corporately. And so I want to talk about that. It's really amazing. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, it's to your benefit that I go away because one is coming and he's going to lead you into all truth. And so the power of a transformed life, that power is the Holy Spirit. That power is the Holy Spirit. When the church understands that they operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what, there's nothing this world can throw at the church. I loved, again, what Pastor Roland was sharing about. The gates of Hades will not overcome my church. It's so amazing. And what's really cool about the power of a transformed life in the church and corporately is that we have the answer. We have the answer to depression. We have the answer to anxiety. We have the answer to lust. You have a broken marriage, we have the answer. You need reconciliation, we have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. His name is God Almighty. His name is the Holy Spirit. And we as a church, I'm not even talking about Sojourn, I'm talking about the church, we need to stop turning people away because we have the answer. Now that doesn't mean when someone comes and, hey, I'm going through this and we need to be like, oh, well, in Article A of, you know, but what it says is, you know what? Even if we don't know the answer, we can say, you know what? I'm not exactly sure of the answer, but I can pray with you right now, and we're going to believe that God is going to supply the answer because we serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God who is not surprised by anything that happens in your life, who is not up there wringing his hands saying, I really hope they figure this out. No, our God is mighty. Our God is strong. Our God is constant. Our God is consistent, and we need to start introducing the world to that God. I've said this probably 100 times since I've been here at Sojourn, but I still love it. We need to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling the problems how big our God is. That is truth right there. We have the answer, church, corporately. And I want to say this, the most power that a church has and gives away is not in revival. Hear me for a second. It's not in a conference. It's not even in a seeking him or a worship time. The power that a church gives away is the power of a transformed life. Introducing people to the Holy Spirit. That's why we do things like conferences. That's why we do things like seeking him. Because we want to provide an atmosphere where people can come in and they can encounter the love of God. They can encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. Transformation is the key. The most power a church can give away is when they reveal Christ in everything they do. Again, the goal is not perfection. It's not behavior modification. The goal is the process of transformation, relationship. So any chance I get when I preach to the youth, I'm always going to say, especially to youth, right? I mean, I don't know about you. When I was in high school, I didn't know what in the world I was doing. I look back. I try to get some pictures up here, but I forgot. I look back at some stuff that I was wearing and my hairdo in high school, and I'm like, what in the world? Dad, Mom, why were you not there to stop me? And they were like, we were trying to. Remember when we said, are you wearing that? I was like, oh, that makes sense. Now I've got a wife to stop me from doing that. She's like, are you wearing that? Like, is that the Holy Spirit? No, I'm kidding. But it is so important to these youth, to this generation, that I tell them, hey, you're not going to have it all figured out. And that's okay. You're not supposed to have it all figured out. Some people are like, I'm in my senior year. I don't know what college I'm going to. I don't know what my future is. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. I'm freaking out. And I'm like, that's okay. It's fine. Do you want to know why? Because you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. So start to pray and stop worrying and figure out what God has for your life. Oh, and by the way, when God speaks to you, it's not like just you. If you have people you're in relationship with, if you're in the truth of God's word, if you're being thankful for everything he's given and provided for you so far, if you have that transparency and that trust, then all of a sudden there's going to be people popping up in your life saying that we really feel like this is what you're supposed to do. I felt an inclination to go to CF&I. I felt like God spoke to me and said, you're supposed to go to CF&I. I barely knew what CF&I was. I knew Carrie Job came out of there. That's about all I knew about it. All of a sudden, my parents said, we really feel like God's calling you to CF&I. I told my youth pastor and he said, I really feel like you're supposed to go. I even had peers, okay, which I don't recommend completely confiding in, but peers who were like, dude, you need to go to CF&I. And like, we want you to stay here, but you need to go. God is going to bring confirmation. He's going to speak to multiple people in your life. That's the power of a church right there. Being a part of a community and a group that can speak things in your life, even some things you don't see. I don't really know what to do here. I don't know the next step. And for people to say, you know what? We've been where you've been. We've gone through what you've gone through. Let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit right now to speak to you. Because that's how good God is. He's going to speak to you right now. He's not some faraway, distant God who's taking a nap. No, he's right here with us right now because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit. The best part about the corporate, the power of a transformed life corporately, here's what's so great, and I love what Paul was saying all throughout Romans. There's so many different members of the body. If my arm started trying to act like a leg, I'd be rebuking it left and right. Like, you are not, stop it. Stop trying to run. If my leg decided it wanted to be an ear, I don't even know what that would look like. Like Mr. Potato Head. But we need to realize what's so great is we have so many different perspectives here. You could bring up every pastor here that's here at Sojourn. Pastor Terry, Pastor Chris, me, Pastor Roland, Pastor Rick, Pastor Kevin, you bring up the whole staff and you could give them one verse and every single person would have a different revelation on it. Now, obviously there's the truth of the revelation because it would mean something to them differently. It would mean something powerful to them. And I remember this time where I read that verse and God spoke this to me. And I could say, I remember the time that I read this verse and God spoke this to me. And that is the beauty of it though, because we're all communicating the same thing, but iron sharpens iron. And so there are different members of the body, but guess what? We're all submitted under one head, and that is Christ Jesus. And how are we? How are we submitted under the head? How do we work together? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that when people walk through those doors that are new here, that maybe don't know the Lord, they're gonna look around and say, all these people look very normal, but there's something different about them. I knew that person. He used to deal with anger like nobody's business. Now he's laughing and he's joyful and he's raising his hands. What is that? There's the power of a transformed life. And here's something that's great. You can't argue against a transformed life. Like it's impossible. Like someone can't say like, yeah, I know God's not real because you used to deal with all this stuff and now you don't. Like, that's not an argument. And sometimes we need to let our own personal transformation walk preach even more than our words. And I believe that at schools, I believe in the marketplace, I believe for stay-at-home moms and dads, I believe in the medical field, whatever it might be, I believe that we're going to begin to see this group of believers that are doing what they're called to do, but something's different about them. And they're going to preach the gospel more than anything they could ever say on a soapbox. That's what I'm believing for, because it's the power of a transformed life. You naturally release it. I'm going to end by giving a football analogy. I know most of us in here will appreciate it. If you don't worry, you'll still get it. By the way, I'd be praying for my Detroit Lions as we face the Kansas City Chiefs today. I've been fasting all day, so no, I'm kidding. It's okay. When you're a Lions fan, you just learn to be a Cowboys fan, so. Or a bandwagon fan, whatever it is. But it's really interesting. So I love football. I do. I love football so much. I could talk to you about especially professional football all day long. Love it. Read stats, watch the games, all that. And here's what's really interesting. What's really interesting is you have, 11 men on the field, okay? You have 11 men on the field, and they are each assigned a specific task for every single down, a specific route, a specific block, a specific formation, a specific everything. And it's different every single play, okay? And what's really cool is that they literally, the difference between a great play and a bad play is all in the execution of their assignment. If every individual does what they're supposed to do, then that play will run smoothly. But could you imagine if all of a sudden the quarterback is like, I'm done throwing this ball. I'm going to be a receiver. And he just like left the center and like went over and like lined up. And the center is like, who am I hiking the ball to? And the offensive guard was like, oh, I guess I'll take the ball. That would be a nightmare. For those of you who don't know football, that would be a nightmare. But here's the thing. They're working individually doing their specific assignments, but they work as a team. And that's what the power of a transformed life looks like. Each of us in here individually have an assignment from heaven. And we need to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what happens is all of a sudden, the church as a whole begins to take back ground from the enemy, begins to push the kingdom of God further. I love what Pastor Terry says when the Lord spoke to him and said, you have an enemy. Guess what? It's not the church down the street. We're actually in partnership with the churches all over the world. What a blessing. I hope churches start blowing up all over the world and start people coming in and getting saved and getting discipled. Yes, I love that. I bless that. We pray for that all the time. But it all comes back to you, me. It's a personal decision. We decide, Lord, I need to be transformed. Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me today. Because the word I got yesterday was amazing, but I need another word today. And I need another word tomorrow. And I need another word the next day. I want to operate so fully in your knowledge, in your power, and in your presence that you'll use me not only individually, but corporately, a part of a church to take this world by storm and to be able to advance your kingdom. Remember, God's kingdom is advancing. Nothing in this world is going to stop that. If the Detroit Lions win today, that might. No, I'm kidding. But nothing is stopping the kingdom of God advancing. And what's great is that we get to individually and corporately be involved in it, which is why individually there's a breakthrough that I'm believing for. There's a miracle I've been praying for. But then someone I sit next to in church on Sunday gets healed and I rejoice. I don't say, I wish I had that healing. I wish that was for me. No, we rejoice because we're a part of one body. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're walking through this life together. And one day when I get my breakthrough, then they're going to rejoice with me. That is what it looks like to live the power of a transformed life. So just like a football team, we each have our own individual assignment. We cannot complete these assignments unless we are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we complete our assignments from heaven, through the power, through the revelation, through the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. And that transformation will pour over into the church as a whole, accomplishing the will and call of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. Can everyone in here just stand for a minute? Bunch of good-looking people in this room. Let me tell you what. Y'all look great today. I want to say this. As a youth pastor here, Jenna and I, we've been here 3 years. And we just want to say, you guys are awesome. Yeah, you guys are really, really great. The way that you guys live your life, the way that we see you live your life, the way that you operate, the way that you pray, the way that you show up, the way that you serve, the way that you rejoice is amazing. And so today, I just want to bless you guys as you leave. So wherever you are in this room, if you could do me a favor, if you could just close your eyes, and maybe you're believing for a breakthrough, maybe you just need the strength for today or for this week, maybe you have something big coming up, I don't know what it is, but I just want to bless you today, and I want you just to receive it. Receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's going to speak to you right now in this moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person in this room. Lord, I thank you that the transformation, that what happened at the cross, that transformation would begin to apply in our lives right now, today. That we would begin to walk in such a manner that pleases you. That we would begin to walk in such a manner that would bless you and that would honor you and that would be Spirit-led. And God, I pray for, thank you that we are all blessed in the Lord, but I pray right now over every person that goes to work today, that goes to work tomorrow, that goes to work this week, that God, you'd give them a strength, you'd give them a boldness, and you would give them favor that they have never, ever experienced before. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you that it guides us into all truth. It leads us into all truth. It speaks to us in truth. We're so thankful for everything you've done. And we just declare your mighty and powerful name over our family, over our church, over our job, over everything, Lord, that we operate in. We declare the mighty name of Jesus over it. And we love you and praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.